Oh, he's out.
Just put him on my neck?
Yep. Thank you.
God, I got a lot of stuff.
Hey, everybody. We're going to do an interview panel section for the comments in the listening. But before we get started, I was with my wife in a river yesterday. We were floating on tubes by the Moe Slide, depending on where that is. It was just the two of us, and a snake was swimming on the top of the water. And I looked at it and sped up, I was like, man, that's fast. And it was heading towards the dam, where there was dozens of people in tubes, and I said, man, there's going to be chaos when that thing gets down. And so I knew it was going to happen. I was watching it. Sure enough, as soon as someone saw it, snake, and then people were just parting up the Red Sea, just taking off like crazy. But then a human being started running towards the snake and jumped in the water, and the human being grabbed the snake by hand. That human being was Melissa.
What else can you say? Everybody just needs a Melissa. No.
It was a ribbon snake. It was just a ribbon snake.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so before we get started, something that Jeremy said on Sunday night really stuck with me. He said that they weren't professionals and that Jesus didn't go for professionals. He used ordinary people. I don't really like that. And so none of us are up here as professionals. We're not here to teach or to preach. We're just here to share out of our life. And so that's what Tommy and Melissa have agreed to do. And they're going to kind of open up their lives to us as it relates to their parenting and how they dealt with their family. So to start with, how long have you guys been married?
20 years today.
That's not planned. No. I mean, it's just God working it this way. I have no idea, right? They already set the night, and like, it's just amazing how that works.
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about your family and what that looks like, how many kids you have.
Okay. So, Houston's home for us. Tomball, really, a little bit north of Houston. Sam talked about the animals. That's one of the things that Melissa especially loves, but we love. We counted with the kids at the table for dinner. I think we have 35 animals, 10 species. And that was kind of the joke when we got married. Her family razzed me about how many species would we have in the first year of our marriage.
I think they had bets going.
Yeah, they had bets going. I'm sure they won because I didn't think it would happen, but hard to say no. We have four kids. So Hudson's 18. He just graduated. And we homeschool, so he graduated homeschool. And he's going to go to Texas State. He is not here with us this week because he's serving on serving on staff at a camp this summer for special needs. And he's worked at that camp for a few summers. So Ty is 16. He's over in the high school group. Lily is 14. She's in the high school group for the first time. And then Cora is 11. I mean, we like to do a lot of things. We love adventure, travel. We love snowboarding, hiking. Animals, obviously. We both love people. We both love having people in our home. I mentioned homeschooling. We probably won't get into a ton of that. She's got a few things to say about it, probably, when Sam asked one of the questions. If you want to know more about that, you can ask. But like Sam said, we're not professionals, and there are a lot of debates about how to do all things right. That's just the way we chose to do it. So don't think we're up here saying that's like the answer. I work with CRA, so John and Cole work with those two guys. And Melissa works a lot harder than me as a hot wife and mom at home. And she also has a couple of other hobbies that she delves in. And we met at First Baptist Church when we were both 24. Yeah. And we first time we talked, we sat for coffee late one night at the Starbucks. Where was that? Post Oak. And I remember the seats were wet and it was kind of rainy, and I remember her saying that she felt like her life and ministry would be raising kids and having a home where lots of kids came, and that would be how she gave her life away. And I thought, who says that? All these other women that were in their 20s were all talking about their careers and stuff. Paul was at that church. It was pretty unique that she said that. So I kind of instantly fell for her. And really, I mean, her life has become that. So that's kind of cool. She was going to tell you one other thing that's kind of relevant about her journey to where we are.
He just wanted me to share. I feel like God gave me, I mean, I've always wanted to be a mom. That's what I was the most excited about. And in God's kindness, he gave me the opportunity to practice parenting before I had my own kids. So after college, I was working at a youth ranch in Wyoming, and I met a family that was, they're independent film crew, and they were working for National Geographic doing a documentary, and I gave their son a pony ride, and they came back the next day, and they asked if I would consider being their nanny. And I think, you know, later that, I initially told them I couldn't. I had another commitment, and that was a year of 9/11, and the tourism industry shut down, and so they ended up flying me out a few months later. And then 2 weeks after that, I got to go with them to Uganda, and they were filming royalty in the 21st century, and so they were following different royal families around for this documentary, and they gave me, you know, sole custody of their little 2-year-old, and I traveled the world with them, and I got to travel with their baby, and so I got to practice disciplining and parenting, single parenting, and you know, flying overseas. And then fast forward a few years, we were asked to move to Thailand whenever we had a 4-month-old. And, you know, looking back, you can see all the ways God prepared me. And so, yeah, it's been the best.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Mom and heart.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you both generally in agreement in how to raise kids, and when there are differences, how do you handle those?
I'm really glad that you let us see the questions before this. The easy answer would be, oh, yeah, of course. But so we'll kind of walk you through a little of this. Early on, no. And the reason was because I wasn't present. I worked a lot, stayed pretty stressed out, pretty focused on proving who I was and all the things I needed to do. Worked for a company that demanded a lot of time. And so, you know, even when I was home, I wasn't very present. But the other thing was, is I knew who she was, and I trusted her as a parent and her gifting and talenting in that. So that was real, but I'm pretty sure I took great advantage of that too. And I'm sure she felt alone at times.
So he traveled a lot when the kids were really young. When we first got married, he was rotating 30 days on, 30 days off. When we had kids, we ended up moving to Thailand, but even there he was traveling a lot. So he was gone a lot, and I think the hardest thing was when he was home, he was on call 24 hours a day, and so he just wasn't present. So he was always on the phone, and he was always available at work. He was such a great dad, but just really distracted, and so that was hard.
Yeah, and you probably faked some alignment a little bit with the kids to protect me, which I really appreciate. I mean, she cared a lot about honoring me and creating respect from the kids to me, so that was pretty special.
I think I was just attempting obedience just to respect him. I don't think my heart was there, but we did really protect the kids. The kids didn't see us fighting a lot at home. Mm-hmm. And then as they got older, do you want me to fill in that?
Yeah.
When they got older, I really had to transition just some of our parenting for the boys, especially because the young years were kind of my jurisdiction, and then as they got older, and we kind of found a greater need to be aligned because we needed to be, unified in some of our decisions and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and she started to see the natural tendency of boys to start to break away from mom, and she didn't want to nag, she didn't want to push too hard, she didn't want to micromanage, which, mm-hmm. She wasn't trying to do. It's just how it comes across to most young boys, and so. So that was a little bit terrifying to me because, in my growing up, my dad was also not super present. I mean, he didn't teach me how to be a protector or be a Southern gentleman like you're taught to do here in Texas. So those were things I just didn't have in my toolbox. So it was intimidating. But I also had many of the people in this room pouring their lives into me and helping me see the need for it. So, the last couple of years, we've really become more and more aware of the kids are just getting into more adult challenges, more heart challenges, more things like whether it's dating, disrespect towards her or me or others, friendship challenges that come up that you just, they weren't ready for, just how they deal with responsibility and lack of it usually, and finding themselves. And so as we started to roll into those things, I remember it was especially around our oldest dating. And we weren't super excited about that, but we realized that we hadn't really talked about it. Like, how are we going to handle that? And so I sat down with Dave one day kind of in a panic, which is usually what happens when we're not aligned. We both panic. And he said, Tommy, the most important thing is that you and Melissa are aligned, that you're on the same page, that you're on the same team. And he said, if they see you guys coming at them in different ways, and with it, it's not going to be good. And I'd heard that from him before, but it really stuck because Hudson's about to be a man, launched out, and we're like, something needs to change. So all that to say, I think Paul was talking about this to me at one point. Genesis 2:24 says, the man and woman will leave. Hold fast to one another and become one flesh. And just this beauty of becoming one flesh, becoming one in the way we do things in parent, and seeing what Dave and Donna had to say about purpose was really inspiring. So we're growing in alignment, but we're certainly not there. But we see, it's one of the most important things.
I think if anybody asked our kids, I think they would say we were aligned. But I think what I want to communicate is that I was kind of faking alignment for a lot of years. And right or wrong, I think I was growing in maturity too, but I really protected him. I really wanted, it was important for me that our kids respect him. But I don't know that I was fully respecting him. And I think a shift is happening, and y'all could pray for us, that I really do. I want us to be aligned, and I need him. And I went to him in the teenage years. Because I needed help. I needed his support in a way that I hadn't before. So.
And we had a lot of fights over that because, to be honest, I wasn't doing it. I wasn't present. And, what it's like to, push somebody into something that they're not doing and they consistently don't do. So it wasn't like this was just a simple ask and here Tommy comes and starts to get it right. No, it was me being defensive. Well, what about all the things I do and all this stuff that we do? But we weren't focused on each other, and I certainly wasn't focused on her and understanding her. So I think that's been the big shift. So I'm glad you asked that question because it really made us kind of go back and think about what that looked like. I don't know if we really had thought that deeply about that across the whole journey.
Yeah, it's easy just to get going in life and have formal conversations around this, but
yeah,
it's a different stage of maturity So how have you invested in your kids spiritually? Is there anything you would do differently or better?
Well, because I was so present and so experienced, I'm going to have to hand that one over to Melissa. She really took the younger ages, so I was there, but she really invested mostly during that time.
So I don't know how much I've specifically told. I'm probably going to cry a little bit. Dave and Donna were my spiritual parents, and they were spiritual parents for both of us. And so I don't know if you remember, but you gave me one of the Navigator's prayer journals that you had used. And I think it was in high school, and I really committed to building that habit to do that, and I do it differently now. I have my own, but the general, you know, idea is you have daily prayers, and then you have prayers for each day of the week. And Donna had given me that, and I started using that, and then I really do. It has helped us so much. I have, you know, yearly prayers just for our family, and I have individual prayers for each of our kids, and it's just been a habit that was built, and it's kept going, and I really believe it's been a big formation for our home. I brought some books because I'm a book nerd. But we were given Shepherding a Child's Heart. I don't know how many of you guys have seen it. It is so, so good. We were given it whenever Hudson was a baby. We read it when we lived in Thailand. I remember distinctly there were some really just eye-opening things in it. And basically, the whole point is that we're getting to our kids' hearts, and it's not just, you know, behavior modification or whatever. I mean, it's, we're wanting to do the whole work. So I highly recommend it. We went back to it whenever our kids reached teenage years, and it has been an amazing guide for us. I've really fought for Bible times in the morning with our kids. I will say homeschooling has helped that. We had like a morning, I don't know, meeting time as a family. Not every day, but I would say consistently 3 days a week. We meet together as a family. Even my teenagers do it with us still. And you know, I've had to get over like feeling awkward with the blank stares at me whenever I'm, you know, doing things that God's really moved me. And I've done it, and, you know, been embarrassed some of the times. And every once in a while we get to see little nuggets that they appreciated. I do think homeschooling helped us with that. We built it into our routine from a really early age, and it just helped me to be intentional with them. And it's often I've used devotions, I've used all kinds of things. Sometimes it's just what he and I have talked about in our personal, you know, time with the Lord. We worship together. We've really fought hard that on Sunday mornings we really wanted to worship with our kids, and we've done that consistently. We've done scripture memory. We've sung the songs and had some scripture memory. And then we pray together. I pray with them, and I pray with each other. Our girls prayed for us before we came tonight. It was really special.
Sweet. She even has these little scripture memory temporary tattoos. So if you ever see a tattoo, it's not real for her, but they're like these little, like a couple of letters and a reference, and they did those for a couple of years. And neither of us are very structured. When we look at the Bergman, we both suck at consistency. So so we ebb and flow a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely up and down.
Yeah, so those were the younger ages, and then as she really engaged me, she really did lovingly engage me, and she helped me see some areas I could jump in and start being more a part of it. So, you know, really at the heart of it, it's a lot of what we talk about here in Living Proof. For those of you who have gone through Living Proof with someone, if you haven't, it's a pretty cool resource. But just really spending time with them to know and seek to understand them as they go through these older ages, meet with them individually, like we do with other men that take the time and meet with them. So with the boys, I mean, it took me a long time to do this. It sounds like I've got all this stuff together, but I didn't start meeting with the boys and the girls individually until Hudson was 16. So I let a lot of years slip by without really intentionally investing time. But and at first it was just like, okay, 15 minutes every other Friday. And then just to kind of see how it go, a lot of asking questions and listening, let them talk. Some talk a lot, some talk not at all. But we could ask questions about everything from pornography to what's going on with your friends to, you know, what are you fearing? All the, and just listening, and then getting to share with them vulnerably from our lives. So this is me and them one-on-one, but just opening up and talking to them about the real things, kind of sharing real pieces of the testimony that, and instead of being afraid to and hiding it, just go ahead and put it out there and let them see who we are and that we're not perfect. Just like, you know, you've seen a lot of here. It was modeled to me by Dave and many of these men. So it kind of made it easy to do with my sons, but I wasn't intentional about it until she really helped me see the need for that. I would say just finding ways to join them on their turf. So Hudson got the chance to play football his senior year. He played soccer all the way through prior. And one of his buddies was like, you got to play. It's our senior year. You got to try it. So he was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So he did it. And it was a homeschool team. So they asked me if I wanted to help coach. And I was like, I don't know if I have the time for that. But we talked about it and prayed about it. I was like, it's a very short commitment. I can put boundaries on how much I give. But it was the only way I would have got to spend any time with him his senior year. And that was really fun. Just all the drives back and forth and, doing some jiu-jitsu with Ty and just taking him to do those things. I mean, hiking, snowboarding. Another thing that she had me think about was just kind of a dads and sons group. We were in a house church for a long time, and so we didn't have all the amenities and the programs. So we're just like, okay, let's just talk to the dads that are here, and the boys are about the same age, and let's just start meeting. And it kind of looked a little bit like Boy Scouts at first. We would do projects, teach them things. Each of the guys had different skills. And so they were kind of learning, you know, different things that they might be interested or not interested in, and we try to share a little bit from our lives from that. I remember one time we went to Jay Baker's house and helped clean up his property, and then Jay shared his testimony with them, and that was really cool. Russell was engaged in that for a while, and so we had... You know, they got to meet other people. So I think that was another thing, was hearing testimonies of people here was pretty neat, and exposing them to that. She encouraged me to get involved in teaching a high school class for the high schoolers. And so it was pretty neat experience that kind of tied some critical thinking and worldview to help shape how they look at the world. And then, you know, just having people in our home. We watched Dave and Donna for years have people in their home, and their family was around them. And so, you know, our kids are there, having the people that we're meeting with in our home and hosting them, and then, you know, people that don't know the Lord and just want to come and stay and hang out for a weekend, we just have them. And our kids get to sit in the pool and, you know, ask them questions and see all the things, hear all the things. And so, I don't know. I mean, those are just some of the things we did. I think the only other thing was, you know, introducing my oldest son to the Berkman when he was 17 was pretty helpful. I didn't know how helpful that would be for him, but Sam kind of, you encouraged me to do that, and it was really enlightening, because, you know, most of our kids, as they get to those 17, 18 year ages, do any of you have kids that know exactly what they want to do when they get there? I mean, even the ones that are Hudson's closest friends, who knew exactly what they wanted to do, are now 2 years into college, and they're doing different things. So he had all this stress, oh my gosh, I got to figure it out. And we did the Berkman, and that really helped him understand himself a little bit better. And it also helped us understand him, because a certain example. I mean, he comes across as not very connected emotionally. Like, he doesn't want to talk about anything emotionally. But his need for emotional connection is really high. And that was really cool, because I used to think when we'd sit down, and he wasn't giving me anything that he didn't want to, but what I found was that he needed it. And so it helped me have a bit more confidence to kind of go to him. So, I don't know. These are just, I mean, they're all things that, I mean, some are maybe traditional spiritual training, but really it was just, we learned from other people and tried things. Some worked, some didn't. We got our butts handed to us a lot of times. She got a lot, yeah, we got a lot of blank stares, a lot of sleeping when we're talking to him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sounds like prayer was at the forefront.
Oh, gosh.
You learned about that experience. And then, as you described it, at least to me, I was hearing that it kind of flowed from your life and was organic and just kind of felt it from the way you got to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some, like when you took them through the worldview, there was some structure to it, but mm-hmm. largely organic and just flowing from your mind. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Well, Tobias and Tracy said something in our share group this morning that was really cool. It's just, you know, every family culture is different. They have a very competitive family culture, and they were talking about how when Tobias was first listening or learning his memory verses in Operation Timothy, they would sit at the table and, like, compete at who could memorize them the fastest. But that's cool. I mean, like, our family isn't as competitive, so that probably couldn't get anybody to do that, but it worked for you guys. So it's just, you know, try things that kind of fit who your family is.
So what are some of the struggles that you had, and what were some of your learnings from that?
Yeah, we thought about that a lot, and we have a couple. I mean, I think the biggest one for us has been busyness. Anybody that knows us can look and shake their heads yes, because it's true. being spread out, you know, we're always like, man, life's so busy. That would kind of lead to everyone being tired, spread out, anxious, fear kind of comes in, and then we get short with each other and with them. And we used to just think that that's just the way the world is, and that's the ages they're in, and maybe there's some truth to that, but to be honest, from the time they were born to the time they're 18, it's just as busy. It's all the same. And so, you know, it really made us kind of think about what Dave and Donna said last night, vision, purpose, and priority. I mean, if you have vision and purpose, it allows you to prioritize, like, where are you going to invest your time and where are you not? And I think we're probably like 60, 70% aligned on what we're giving our life to, but it really, you know, I think what I learned last night is I kind of had a purpose and I shared it with her, but I missed the best part, the overnight. I mean, so... it was more of like, oh, here's what I got. What do you think? Instead of let's go into this together. And so I think that's what I really heard last night. That's something that we need to tie up, because honestly, if there's anything, any time that we're too busy or really stressed with each other or angry or something's not working, it usually is because we're not aligned in some way in the direction we're going. And we're not prioritizing
we're
something.
We're usually pretty intentional, but I think we just like let the busyness of life suck us in whenever mm-hmm. we aren't on guard to it. And so we set out being intentional, but then we just get sucked into mm-hmm. all the things.
Yep.
Did the kids get tired?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We asked them this summer, because this was a busy summer. She was like, we're too busy. So, like, they see it. They're watching their parents just scurry on the rat race. And a lot of it's good things, but as people here say a lot, you know, you can do a lot of good things, or you can slow down and just do the great things. It's just a, we got a lot of growth to go there, but we're trying and we see it. She had another one.
I really learned in my adult life, I really like to coast. And I think coasting just turns into complacency. I'll put in really hard work for like a short stint, and then I really want to just kind of ride that way. And so I think that, you know, for an example, we have clear-cut rules in our home, and then in like my laziness, I start allowing disobedience to creep in. And then I'd have an angry blow-up. We'd have an angry blow-up about it. And then I have to apologize and ask for the boot camp, so to speak, to get us back on track. And then work harder to break all the bad habits that we allowed to keep in. And we do that over and over. So just a specific example would be media. We've tried to be really intentional about it, but then you have like a summer break and all of a sudden everybody's like on devices all the time. And, you know, this is younger years. Now we're in a different I mean, it's still a problem, but, you know, we have very clear media rules that are posted in our school, and they have been from day one. And then, you know, one day I'll look up and like, we really are breaking up all of them, every single one.
And they also see us on the devices too. So.
That's just the sad truth of it.
Yeah.
And in high school, I think we struggled to hold them accountable. We'll let little disobediences or attitudes creep in, and we don't hold them accountable. So
yeah, that's really more on me. I mean, I think that I've watched the boys, and she has like almost like in tears begged me to. Step in and stop the disrespect, and it's not bad, but it's there. It's clear that it's there. So she fought for years to keep the family from ever disrespecting me, but again, I wasn't present, so, and that wasn't modeled to me, and so it's an excuse, but I didn't intentionally do that towards her, and it's been hurtful. So that's just an area, like, I'm aware of it, but I need Jesus to continue to change me there, to be more intentional.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, my stepping back from the boys was kind of twofold. My dad and all of his brothers just had a horrible time with their mother. Their mm-hmm. mom just pinpecked them to death. She nagged them to death. Her boys resent her very much. And I could feel that happening because I wasn't holding them accountable to things, and then I would just be a talking, you know, just talking and not doing anything. And so it came from that I just begged him. I'm like, I do not want to ruin my relationship with my boys. I don't want to nag them to death. I don't want them to think I don't believe in them because I'm just talking constantly. And so I did. I mean, I begged him to step in for me on that because I was just going down that place that was going to cause me. So.
Yeah, my tendency is when she says something like that, it's like, oh, I'm so messed up. Oh, my gosh. And then I get defensive. But well, what about all the things that I do? Instead of, so it's just an area of, just need God to continue to break the selfish self-focus, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I did want to ask what, if it was something that someone trained you in, but
oh, I got to meet that grandma. She was harsh. There's a funny story, a quick one about her. She was sitting at the dinner table. The rule was the teenage boys, never come to the table with their shirts off. They all came to the table with their shirts off. So she walks out of the room, takes her shirt off, comes back in, and sits at the dinner table.
She stood up and took her shirt off and hung it on the back of the chair.
That story was shared at her funeral. So.
She was spicy.
Yeah, that's spicy. Melissa's never done that. She learned her lesson.
How about with the daughters? Was there... I get handing off the young men to tell you what about the daughters or anything?
I mean, I don't know. I'm still in it. I mean, like, Lily's 14 and Cora's 11. And definitely, I spend a ton of time praying over my relationship with Cora in particular. I'm just finding that I can tell how I communicate hurts her. I can be very direct in my communication. And so I'm having to work really hard on, I can sense it. And so, you know, have us back in a few years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So y'all take this. I don't know. I don't know what the girls, I don't.
And she's been good to, encourage me with the same thing with the boys. Like, I try to do consistent morning coffees with them. Just get up really early. It's on our calendar so that it doesn't get, so I don't miss it and lose consistency. And that's a lot different than the time with the boys. It's really just asking about their friends. And it's just lots of talking and me listening. And but it's special. And every now and then a little nugget will come out. So, yeah, we'll be asking for some counsel on how to go about that as we go forward.
So there are different age, right, when there's infants to toddlers and elementary. So how did you parent differently in those phases
okay. Their
development?
Yeah, we had to think about this one to bring a little organization because, again, we never really had goals or a strategic plan for any of this. Some of this is looking back, and then when we get to those current ages, it'll be more of a, we do have somewhat of a plan. But the one thing I'll say is Melissa talked about that prayer journal. So she has every year, we'll do like a getaway, and she'll show me the prayers that she's written out for the kids for the year. And they're pretty specific, like things they're struggling in, character-wise, heart-wise, whatever. And we'll sit down and I'll write those things down too. And so she's definitely more diligent to pray than me. But that's really, that's kind of the start for how we've, if we've had any goals. So I'll let her kind of take the early ages, the 0 to 5, and then we'll go from there. But you want to?
Okay. Okay, so hopefully this doesn't offend anybody, but I kind of compare the younger years of training, like the 0 to 5 years, to training dogs. I'm a pretty good dog trainer, and I'm a very strong leader in training dogs. I don't take a whole lot off of them. I really, like, if I bring a new dog into my house, you know, I'm working on the same things no matter what the dog is, and I'm teaching them to be content, and I can't handle like a bunch of barking in the kennel and stuff like that. So I'm working really hard for them to be content in that kennel, and I really want them to be obedient. And I really kind of equate it to, I mean, y'all have been around dogs that are nightmares that jump all over you and bark constantly and are ill-behaved, and they're not a blessing. I mean, they're a pain in the butt. And I feel like kids are the same. And so I think kids that are well trained are a blessing. And so I did train my kids like dogs.
Not exactly.
I didn't kennel them. However,
they're big kennels though. That's great.
So, I mean, we do have a fun home, and we did have some, like, fun taglines. You know, I don't know where it came from. We learned a ton of this from other people, but we had a little saying in our home that, you know, we obey right away, all the way, and with a happy heart. And I don't know where that came from, but somebody passed it on to us, and we adopted that. And I will say, in the 0 to 5 range, my kids got their first spanking whenever they were rolling over for a diaper change. I didn't have to use words, but it was really clear they got it very quickly. I made it count. I mean, it hurt. It scared them, like shocked them a little bit. And they only tried it a couple times. And I didn't have to spank my kids a lot because I spanked a lot when they were little, and they knew that my no meant no. I had established some really, like, strong boundaries. But I think I had, like, clear expectations. I think I'm a pretty fair leader. I don't operate just out of anger very often, but I don't use a lot of words in those 0 to 5 years. I don't think we need a lot of words. I think we gave lots of hugs. But they knew that my no meant no. And I think in our culture, I think it's getting to a place where people are scared to do that. And I don't think kids are a blessing when they aren't trained. And so I think that was probably.
Yeah, how that ties to the Bible.
Oh, yeah. So okay, let me get back on that. So I think we use really quick, unemotional correction. Like, it wasn't a big emotional thing. They knew once that it was over. In fact, they would hug us almost like out of relief whenever they knew they were, being bad or care of that for me. And I do think that, the biblical, backing of this is that if they can learn to obey us, then hopefully they'll learn to obey the Lord. They'll really respect authority, and they did. I would say our kids really had high respect for us, and they didn't push back a whole lot. They really, I think that, strong leaders make strong, secure kids, and disciplined kids are usually more secure. Now, I'm not talking about, super angry discipline, but I would say I'm a pretty strict parent, and I didn't take a lot off of them. And I do think that they're a blessing whenever that happens. I do think that our kids know that they were loved and delighted in. I mean, I think that they knew we just delighted in them. We loved being with them. And so we really set out to show them that.
I mean, you read a lot to them. There was a lot of play, a lot of quality time.
And I'll just say, this is like my little parenting tip for any parents of littles, like toddlers, whenever you've got those little years. I used to tell him it like worked like magic. I was like, this is amazing. But we're in such a multicasting world. And I think with little ones, we're like cooking dinner, we're like checking email, we're wiping noses. And I really would like write myself notes or set timers or whatever. And I would really try to spend like 15 minutes of one-on-one time with each kid. And I can only play, My Little Pony for so long. I don't have, that kind of attention span. I do love children, but I can't just sit and play Legos or whatever. I can't. But I can give them like 15 minutes of my time and like my undivided attention without multitasking. And it would like make them coast for the rest of the day. And I found that to be true with almost every situation. I would like have like a busy box for like some of the others so that I could like see that one kid, look in that one kid's eyes and get a temperature gauge on them. And it really does, like, it works like magic. I mean, it's not like a formula, but it really does go far.
Yeah. So. And kind of back to the earlier thing, the culture of your home. I mean, animals and nature are really important to Melissa. So, she would kind of instill this sense of wonder what, taking them out in the woods, helping them see bugs. Look at that plant. Like, look at the dew on that. Her science lessons were usually like these great experiences. I remember one time a friend had a cat. She had found a cat that was pregnant. And she was trying to get rid of it. And I was like, we'll take it. And she puts it in our guest bathroom, which if you've been to our house, that guest bathroom has been, what would you call it, like a coop for...
It's like this glass shower. So you can
it's been the home of many, many, many young animals of all breeds. But she got the cat just so the kids could see kittens be born. And then we got rid of the cat and the kittens. So, like, we gave them away. We didn't just get rid of them. It was good, yeah. So, I think the 0 to 5 is, it was really obedience, contentment, and just them know that they're loved and delighted in. So you go kind of that 6 to 12 age range you were talking about. Some of the things we focused on were character development, you know, because they had started to learn obedience, really start pouring into their character and helping them see, you know, what the behavior is tied to and in their character. We thought it was important to help them, you know, learn to find friendships, develop relationships, whether with us, with each other, with other people. And that was, it wasn't hard, but we had to be intentional because we were homeschooling. And, you know, she got into a co-op, which opened up some doors, but just, I don't know. I mean, I don't remember being taught how to have how to be a friend. We had to teach them about things like awareness of their body, sex, media, what's happening in a digital world, because that's not what we grew up in. You had, we talked openly with them at the right ages, but she really led that. And you had a couple of resources that you thought might be helpful.
I didn't bring all of them, but like for the, you know, the sex and body talk, we use God's Design for Sex. It's been around forever. I think it's James Dobson's ministry, and they have like numbered books, and it's really good, and it tells all the things.
It shows pictures. And it's awkward. Like a lot of we talked to a lot of parents, and parents don't do it because it's so hard to tell them about this. And we just went straight for the awkward, which, if you know me, that's not surprising. But it was a little harder with your own kids. And just a funny little thing, when we sat the boys down and read this to them, like, well, Ty's like chewing on a pillow like this, like, oh, my God. And like when it says, you know, the thing goes into the thing, he says, I'll never do that. I'm like, yes, you remember that till you're 25. What did Hudson say? I don't remember what Hudson said.
Oh, he, like, his face was gray.
Like, why? But they got it, and then we got to follow up with questions later. So, I mean, he's just going into it. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, I learned it in the locker room. I learned it in the locker room when people were already having sex, and it's like, well, okay. But you had some books even just, like, long before that of just, like, being aware of, like, it was called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, mm-hmm. right?
They have a picture book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and then there's like a chapter book, but we read it when they were little just because, unfortunately, pornography is starting at like age 8, you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids are like regularly seeing it, and I we want to fight it, and mm-hmm. so we really tried to fight it. I read that book every single year for, 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. just to make sure that it was fresh.
Yeah.
In their mind, and I didn't know how to say it, and they say it well. So,
yeah.
And then there was one other book. It's Screens and Teens was another. Just she's awesome. She's a great communicator. I read it a couple of times, mm-hmm. and she was super helpful.
It's such a different thing than what we grew up. So, and we can talk more about that. I'm sure there's a lot of better ways to do it than we did it, and we fumbled through it, but. That was one thing. We helped them explore gifts and talents. So just like who they are, what kind of things they might like, enjoy, help them identify their spiritual gifts if they were there and in that place with God. And then, I don't know. I guess the other thing that we really wanted to start with them was helping them learn to serve others. So we got to take them on somebody gave us the opportunity to go to Guatemala and serve at a children's home, and so we took them there a couple times, and in that Dads and Sons group, we called it Beastie Boys, we would do like projects for a couple of different local ministries, and then we had a lady that was in our life who was a widow, and we would go and do stuff for her, and so it was just cool because it was a way to hang out with them and do things with them and teach them to serve others. And really just not think about yourself, because I'm very self-centered, and this current culture is equally self-centered. So just trying to help them find ways to like look at somebody else and be intentional. And then the last kind of age group was 13 to 18, and that's where we okay. That's where we are now. So really, it's more help. We're focused on trying to help them find how to have deeper relationships. So like what we get to experience here, how do you really be a friend? How do you talk about real things and seek to understand people? Hopefully they'll take away something from our home of, you know, who God is, how much he loves them, and who that means they are. We've been a lot more transparent with them at this age, these ages, just in our life and failures. And, you know, I've talked to Gary about this a bunch, but just they're in the place, you're going to launch them out into the world and prepare them to go be who they are. And that looks different for everybody, but, you know, we've been counseled to really, you know, kind of 16 to 18, stop being, you know, like the parent telling them what to do and start being the parent that comes alongside them and helps them see, like, you're making your own decisions and you're going to see what the consequences are, and you're going to make some mistakes, and hopefully you make some of those in our house where we can give you that grace and you can see what that looks like. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Tommy. This is wonderful. Anybody pick up kids, need to get over there as close to eight as you can.